and welcome to episode 28 of Radio Radar. I'm your host, Hollander Cooper. Here with me is...
Bill Henry Gilbert.
Greg Henniger.
And Ryan Teljanik.
Awesome, and we have a jam-packed show for you today. Not a lot in the ways of previews, because it's more review season right now, slash previews of things we're not allowed to talk about, even though you know what they are, and it's seriously, this is getting kind of ridiculous season.
This is a really weird time now where we have, like, holiday-level reviews... a number of reviews we have like during the holidays, and then on top of that we have all these new games getting announced every second.
It's pretty ridiculous. It's in a way it's getting busy, like especially the middle of this month we'll probably be busier than we were in like November.
Yeah,
and no one is going to treat us any nicer.
Nope. And GDC will then happen.
Oh, and PAX East. God damn it! I wasn't even thinking of either of those.
Yeah.
Well, we have some news on PAX East. Some companies are showing off some stuff at PAX East that isn't even announced yet. But before we get into that and reviews of games like Runner 2 and the new Tomb Raider, let's jump into the top seven, which is I'm going to read it off this paper right now. The top seven games that broke the fourth wall. That was my best improv fourth wall break.
I see what you... That was
it wasn't good. Very good.
I was going to say, you are listening to this in your underwear.
That's pretty good.
And probably accurate for some.
Yeah, stop staring at your radio and put your eyes back on the road. the top seven games that broke the fourth wall. And these are all, I mean, this is actually done by our Australian editor. I don't even know if you knew we had one. He actually is pulled in a lot of different directions because he helps out a lot of in just future Australia. Yeah. But every so often we get lucky enough and he helps us out to write an article. And he wrote this one, top seven games that broke the fourth wall.
Straight from down under.
God, mate.
Put some shrimps on the bog.
Oh, my God.
Mr. Wayne.
Why would you do that?
I don't know.
The Wallaby Koala.
Number seven, The Secret of Monkey Island.
All right, yes. That's a funny game. And part of its humor is in breaking the fourth wall.
Yes, number six. No.
It feels really good to have Guybrush like just turn to you and be like, did you see that?
It's not just Guybrush. There are a few characters in the game that will just look at the camera and just give you like a, like a shrug, like, I guess. And it's
like
been a staple.
Bugs Bunny kind
of
winking.
Yeah, and it happens a lot. There's also just lots of little things that's like the bar. The first bar you go into is the scum bar, and scum is specifically the engine the game is built on. It's like, what does it stand for? It's like something, something, something Maniac Mansion.
Yeah. That's all. I only remember
it's
Maniac
like
Mansion
source code under Maniac Mansion or something like that. So they just call it that. And then, like, the fact that Monkey Island has a trademark on it in-game. Like, whenever anybody says they're going to Monkey Island, it's trademark. There are so many little things like that. That game holds up so fucking well. And then the HD remake that came out doesn't change anything except the visuals, and it feels like it could have been made today, like, from beginning to end.
I also remember in Monkey Island 2, I remember at least one joke where it was like the hint system or something, and then it says, like, you're picking your difficulty level, and you choose, like, Monkey Island 1 was really hard. Like, that's one of your...
That's one of your difficulty levels?
Like, just saying, please make this easier, because the first Monkey Island was really hard.
Nice.
Also, though, Monkey Island 2, or is it 3, has a weird-ass ending.
Like, they all have kind of weird... Returns, they all end... Yeah. It's weird. Like, they did this thing where, like, they almost all end on weird cliffhanger sort of things, and then pick up with a completely unrelated cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Like, they'll end with, like, the ship sinking and then start with, like, him on top of a mountain fighting somebody with a sword. Like, as in, like, mid-conversation.
The same thing happened... Well, a similar thing happened with Leisure Suit Larry, where they ended the series with 3, and they're like, no, you guys should make another one. And they're like, fine, we're going to skip 4 and go to right to 5. And then we'll just keep mentioning 4 all the time in 5 and saying, obviously you would have seen this in Leisure Suit Larry 4 when he's won $1 million.
Adventure games love breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah. But all they all are is writing, and they're just big nerds writing
about nerdy stuff.
Yeah.
And it's funny. It's funny that a lot of these games are older games because you'd think this would be something that would happen more frequently instead of less. And the next game on the list is also an old one, Star Tropics for the NES. And this one, we actually had a discussion in the office about whether or not it even qualifies as a breaking of the fourth wall. Yeah. I think it does. The thing is, back in the era of, holy hell, we don't know how to do DRM, let's just throw shit at the wall and see what sticks, companies would often include, like, giant paper rings that required you to, like... it was essentially like a code book, and you would need to decode something in-game in order to actually progress, and you wouldn't be able to proceed if you didn't have the game or have the paper. One such game was Star Tropics for the NES, which probably didn't do it as much for DRM reasons, because it was an NES game,
mm-hmm.
but it just comes with a piece of paper. And at one point in the game, a character says, like, yeah, you have to dip the paper in the water, and not exactly telling you what it means, but it literally means the paper that it came with, if you dip that paper in water, there's a code on it.
Oh, my God.
Which kind of screwed people who rented the game and didn't get any piece of paper with it.
Well, did you not get any further after that? What if you
I don't
just,
think
like,
you
balled it up and threw
and
it
And that
away?
Was before well,
then
the
you shouldn't have
facts.
Thrown shit away.
Yeah, though I bet you could, at least call the Nintendo Players Hotline.
Oh, yes, and pay, what, $9.99 per minute
yeah.
while you're speaking with the reps.
God, I wish that still existed. Not because I'd call it, but, I mean, imagine how much stronger the gaming economy would be if people could just pick up a phone and call somebody for $10 a minute to get help.
Yeah, oh, so great.
God, Games Radar should do that.
Yeah.
There we go.
$10 a minute. We have Brian Kim, Cheats Editor. He will answer the phone and let you know how to get the bottle you're missing and Sly Cooper Thieves in time.
You'll look at the guide on our site and then read the guide.
Slowly. You'll just sit there like, hold on. And you'll just be like, come on, it's $9.99 a minute. And he'll be like, you see this Screaming Goats video? I'll play it for you. And you're like, no, this is charging me money. And then you just hear like, ah! And he's like, okay, so bottle 7? Bottle 15? Oh, hold on.
Let me look that one up. It's an entirely different
Sorry, I clicked on the Screaming Goats video again.
I'm trying to remember that Simpsons scene with the 900 number where it's like, the wind is blowing south westerly at 5 knots per mile.
Oh, hotline. Oh, paying for stuff by time.
Do you guys remember? Okay, well, I remember there was a commercial like on USA Cartoon Express. And it was such like an evil commercial where it was like, call Santa, like 900 number, gave
what?
Parents permission to call Santa and tell him your gifts over the phone, like for money, like $2 a minute. And then it got even more evil in the summer. The same company like put up a commercial like, call Santa in the summer. Check in with him. Let him know now what you want for Christmas.
That's like when I worked at a camping retail store, and there was a mistake in the printing of our customer service number, and the number that was printed on the box was a sex hotline.
Ha!
It was amazing. I called it many times.
Mistake.
Just to verify.
Yes, just to verify. They're like, why is there like a $900 bill? And you're like, I was on hold. Also, we need new pants. Number 5, because you were listening to a porn hotline and tugging your winky.
Oh, boy.
Number 5, Eternal Darkness, Sanity's Requiem.
Now, this one breaks all kinds of walls. Fourth,
this game
fifth,
was made.
Walls.
Yeah, this game was made to break walls.
Mm-hmm.
Such
a great game.
It's partially based, Silicon Knights making the game, making the only game Silicon Knights ever made.
Yeah.
And
it's a lot like Alone in the Dark and other Cthulhu-y.
Yeah, it's Alone in the Dark with a heavy dose of Call of Cthulhu, mm-hmm. where there's a sanity system. The thing that I love about the Cthulhu mythos is the concept of, like, as a human who has only seen what a human has seen, seeing something that you know is impossible mm-hmm. would drive you a little crazy. Mm-hmm. Which is essentially the concept behind any game that's based on Cthulhu. So it's like, if you see a giant floating tentacle monster, you don't have the capacity to deal with... Evolution hasn't prepared you for that.
Right,
so your
right.
brain's just going to go like, fuck. And then you just kind of start going crazy. And the way the game did that was with a little bar that would drain... Though I thought
your
it was funny.
Sanity meter.
Yeah, your sanity meter. And if you killed an enemy, you'd gain sanity back, which I think that would make me go even a little more crazy. But I think it was like, I have control. It was grounding you. It would do little things like tilt the camera, which we all know scientifically is proven to be creepier. But if you think about it, that alone is breaking the fourth wall because it sort of makes you think your TV is fucked up.
Hmm. Yeah.
It would desaturate the screen a little bit. Mm-hmm. Statues would just, their eyes would follow you only if you had a high enough sanity, like statues and paintings, the eyes would just follow you, and then you'd look back and they wouldn't be.
So many great subtle tricks.
Blood would just start dripping from the wall, and they did a lot of like look away and look back and it's gone.
Yeah, or you'd enter, I remember one, it's so it's almost impossible to play this game now, like it's hard to find anywhere, but I still don't want to ruin all the surprises just in case you ever play it, but one of my favorite was you enter a room and you leave it, then you re-enter the same room. And then your head falls off, and you're dead, and it goes through the death animations. One of the craziest ones was, I remember it pretended that your system shut off, and then it switched on, like, you know, on old TVs where it would the input would stop, and it would just say video in the right-hand corner. Yeah. It did that, and I was... And it looked almost like the font on my TV. I was like, what? It stopped! What happened?
And while all of those are... pretty good examples of breaking the fourth wall. It also did things that are blatantly to the point where I was playing once, and so the GameCube had a very specific screen. If your controller became unplugged, it would pause and say, like, your controller has been unplugged, please plug it back in. If while playing the game, sometimes that would flash on the screen, you'd lose control of your character, but it wouldn't pause, and it would only happen when there were enemies attacking you.
Oh my god.
So you're just scrambling because you think your controller's unplugged, you know it's not, and your character is dying, and it would go to the death screen and pull up a thing, and then it would flash and you'd be in the room before you went in.
And it would get you every time. Like,
I was playing with a fucking Wavebird, and I'm like, I know it's not unplugged, I'm looking at it right there, and I still was like scrambling to try to find batteries to plug it back in.
Oh, one last one that was great was that it, like, you'd finish what seemed to be the end of a level, and then up would come a logo that would say, like, thank you for playing Eternal Darkness demo. See you next year.
It did so many, or even just like, it had a fake blue screen that would just throw up on the screen.
That's awesome.
And thinking back, it's like, I remember when the Xbox 360 started, like, there were rumors that they were going to make one for the Xbox 360 and people being like, they should fake a red ring. And I realized that, like, almost anything that would be fun that involved, like, something going wrong, no current console makers would agree to it.
Yeah.
Like,
too scared.
Oh, maybe your screen will crash. People would be like, nah, they would just call up Microsoft customer support too quick. Or like, yo, you
don't want to get sued.
Yeah. But thinking of all the cool new ones they could do, like fake Xbox Live messages that aren't there, like you hit the button and no one has messaged you. Or like you unlock like glitched achievements. Like there could be so much cool stuff.
I want this game right now, the more you're talking.
Never
about.
Happening.
In Too Human, the shitty shit game that, it's not garbage, but in the not great game Silicon Knights made this generation, they had like, there's 10 minutes of that game where it's totally them going like, hey, here's what Eternal Darkness would be like if we did it. Like, here's some weird stuff. Like, the camera spins around in a circle and it looks really creepy. And then, like, your controls go backwards. And
just enough to make us depressed that company is now seven guys embezzling money. Yeah, it's essentially what is going on.
Yeah, that's why.
Allegedly.
It's funny that X-Men got, like, nobody gave a like, X-Men was basically what from what we've heard about X-Men, that's basically what happened with Aliens, Colonial Marines. But nobody cared when X-Men Destiny came out.
Well, because X-Men Destiny is like, that was as good as the last game they made.
That's true. And nobody believed Silicon Knights could make a good game.
No, they don't have the capacity. They're essentially, like, they've been neutered to the, like, rare level of neutering. Like, hey, we got rid of everyone who made your games, but you still have a logo, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to make a game? And everyone's like, no, speaking of X-Men,
yes.
X-Men is on this list.
What?
The Genesis version, right?
Yeah.
So,
I barely remember.
Wasn't that good of a game?
No,
I played it a lot. I agree with that sentiment, though.
Wasn't awful. It just wasn't very good. But it had one moment that just up and shattered the fourth wall.
Mm-hmm.
And so that you go into an area and it's just like you have to reset the computer to progress, to open the door.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way, there's no computer to reset. And it literally wants you to hit the soft reset button on your system.
Oh, that's a moment of truth.
This is also a time, like, games had saves, but not all of them. And shitty games like this probably had passwords. So
probably.
You weren't sure if you were going to get your game back.
Jeez. Also,
I don't recall it having a save, but I could be wrong.
I think it's, like, in that game you're fighting Mojo. And so I wonder if that's why they're being very, like, fourth wall breaking, because Mojo in the comics is very fourth wall breaking. Like, he looks at the audience all the time and, like, kind of talks to the reader a lot.
There are a lot of Marvel characters that do that.
Yeah. There's a few. Well, I mean, Deadpool is big.
She-Hulk does it.
Yeah, well, in certain books.
Yeah.
She doesn't have a power. Deadpool does it all the time.
She-Hulk, I heard at one point She-Hulk was in, like, a really, like, sexual situation, and she just got angry and, like, pulled up the pages to look to see what happens to her later in the issue. Like, shit like that.
That's funny.
There, the Deadpool game is going to be, like, breaking fourth walls all over the place.
I hope so. And some people asked why we didn't put Deadpool on this list, or rather Marvel vs. Capcom 3, because Deadpool beats people up with his health bar.
Yeah.
And that's a good one.
Yeah.
And
when he
wins, he grabs the camera and yells in it.
Yeah. But granted, there's a lot of fighting games that, like, the win taunt is you punch the camera.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, he is a good one, but not as good as Another Code 2 Memories, a.k.a. Trace Memories, number 3 on the list.
I didn't play this game.
Do you remember why it was on the list, though?
Yeah, it, I remember there was a part where like you had to get get a stamp from one page to another page. And
it was a DS game. That's important.
It's a DS game. You have to get a transfer stamp from one page of a book to the other page, and the trick is you close your DS like you're closing a book, and it moves the stamp.
Yeah, it's a simple one. It's a cute one. Other games have done this too, where it's just like they briefly acknowledge the system's existence. I'll say Contact did that, but also the first or second Professor Layton game. Mild spoilers. You end up getting like a box at the end, and you have to like do a puzzle to put it together. And the only way to open it is to blow into the microphone, and like as you do it, the box, like there was like a star, like something weird opens up, but the game doesn't tell you you need to do that. It just subtly hints. So it's just the idea that like you're manipulating something on the screen and then blowing into it to open it.
Right.
It was a really cool, like, this is a tangible thing I'm holding.
Well, wasn't there like video game consoles in the last Pokemon game? Like,
oh, there's always.
Pokemon game has a video game console.
Yeah.
Is it always the video game console you're playing on?
It's usually
the home console.
Yeah, it's the home version. You're playing on the DS, there's a Wii.
Right.
You're playing on the Game Boy Advance, there's a GameCube.
And they specifically say, it's a Nintendo Wii.
And they're also, Pokemon can be on there too, because there's usually a Game Freak building you can go into, and there's the people who made the game hanging out in it.
Yeah, that was definitely in the Gold and Silver, and they put that in Heart Gold and Soul Silver. I remember one other 3DS game that sort of did something like another code, which was Daffy's Duck Amuck.
I played that.
It was a good few hours. It was a short game, but there were parts like you had to close the system and then Daffy would talk to you.
Yeah.
Like, it was totally, it made fun. It was based on one of the best cartoons ever made, Duck Amuck, which is the one where the cartoonist is drawing on Daffy the whole time.
And just messing with him.
Crazy. And I don't want to spoil any of that.
But the whole game is just like you need to torture Daffy. But I forgot that you actually had to close the system and he would just still talk to you.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
That's pretty cool.
More games should have done that.
Yeah. Too bad that game was literally, I think it was like a half hour long.
Well, they had all these good ideas, but that's what you get with a licensed game. You get a certain level of quality, which can be stretched over 10 hours or smooshed all together into 1 hour.
Yes. And that was Duck Amuck. Number two on the list. I mean, another code. Number two, Batman Arkham Asylum.
Mm-hmm. How does this one? I forget.
So,
a lot like Eternal Darkness.
Yeah, it is very Eternal Darkness. So, as you go through the game, you get plagued by the rogues gallery of Batman villains, one of which is one that's based on fear. You have the Scarecrow blowing magical smoke in your face all the time, getting you to trip balls. Mm-hmm. One time, when you trip a specific number of balls, you actually just pretty much pass out. And the game ends. And it restarts to the... Or, I'm sorry, you're walking down a hallway and the game freezes.
Glitches,
has like a hard X. And this is actually what makes me think that Eternal Darkness probably could have gotten away with a little more than I expected. Where it does like a full-on glitch, like abstract shapes on your screen. Like what a game actually looks like when it freezes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it resets back to the opening of the game, except instead of you driving the tied-up Joker, Joker has tied you up and he's driving you in the Batmobile.
And the bat signal's upside down to look like a Joker smile.
Yep. He brings you in. It's like the full intro to the game. It's fast-forwarded. He brings you in. You're all tied up. All of the characters are looking at you and just kind of scolding you and talking to you.
You're strapped to the gurney, not Joker.
Gosh, it's literally the opening.
Joker played that game, too.
Yeah, I remember being super confused.
You can, like, look around, and then the Joker pulls a gun, puts it to your head, pulls the trigger, and you see the same, like, you died screen you've seen every time. And just like normal, it gives you a tip as to how to beat the character. And it says, use the middle stick to avoid the Joker's shot.
And for a second, you're thinking, like, the middle stick.
I think every gamer literally just was holding the controller and just looked down slowly, like, what?
Have I been missing it?
And then it just flashes in your back.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Such a perfect piece of... It's just such a good example of why Arkham Asylum is such a good freaking game. Like, it didn't play by the rules that we had established as to licensed games. It's like, no, we're going to do whatever. We're going to do something that's really outside the box.
And there was a cool... it wasn't a Scarecrow level, but in Arkham City, the little Mad Hatter side quest was a cool like throwback to this. Like,
didn't you end up being
we have to fight a bunch of dudes on a clock as the Mad Hatter's shouting at you.
Aren't you not Bat? Aren't you in a different costume?
I think you're in a different costume.
Like Batmite, or not Batmite. You're in like one of the weird, like a weird distorted costume or something.
And then once you beat up everybody, then you wake up at the tea table with a Mad Hatter. It's a really cool scene.
It's really cool. Number one, of course, is Metal Gear Solid.
Oh boy, I remember the Psycho Mantis fight.
Like
yes.
It was yesterday.
So there's other ones too, before we even get to Psycho Mantis. Yeah. Was it Meryl's code is on the back of the box? Or someone?
It's the codec. Frequency you have to call to save your game.
Yes. Is the only way you get to it is it's on the back of the box.
Yeah.
No, it's to contact Meryl.
Yeah, to contact Meryl.
Oh, that's right.
The DARPA chief tells you that.
The DARPA chief.
Yeah.
Before he dies from fox dye.
Oh, no.
And then also, I think Dave pointed out in his really cool Dave Howden from the UK, he pointed out in Metal Gear's craziest moments, like in one of them was in the remake of Metal Gear, in the Psycho Mantis fight, there's pictures on the wall of Dennis Dyack and Hideo Kojima, and they laugh at you.
Just like mid laugh.
Yeah.
There's also, the series has just gone through, and even to the point where, like, Metal Gear Solid 4 actually made fun of how many fourth wall breaks. You go back and visit the original, like, area from Metal Gear Solid 1 and Metal Gear Solid 4, and there's literally, like, a 2 or 3 minute conversation just making references to the PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
Where it's just characters being like, Snake, you have to change the disc. No, I don't. There's Blu-rays now. It's just like, yeah. The fuck is going on?
Yeah.
But the best fourth wall breaking scene in all Metal Gear is, like Ryan said, Psycho Mantis.
That fight really freaked me out, man. When I was playing that for the first time, shortly after Metal Gear Solid very first came out, and I remember going through where, you know, it's like it flashes to that screen that just says like input on it, or I forget exactly what it looks like.
Yeah.
But and then when he starts like talking about the game's files that you have stored on your memory card, like that was really freaking bizarre.
Well, if you save often or not save a lot, he's like, you're cautious, but you're not. But if you have Castlevania save on there of Symphony of the Night, he's like, you like Castlevania.
Yeah. Which I did because I had been playing that with one of my cousins. So.
Same cousin?
Yeah, same cousin.
It was cool just how much they would record, like, other games would be afraid to record dialogue you might never hear, but Kojima is just like, dialogue everywhere. Yeah. No one will find this. One person will find this. I don't care.
He makes you move your controller. Like, it rumbles, and he talks to you about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you put your controller in port 2, then he can't read your mind.
Yeah, it's one of the most fourth... I mean, obviously, it's number one on this list. It might be my favorite fourth wall. I'm not even a big Metal Gear Solid fan, but just the idea that it's like, he can read your mind, and you need to change your controller port.
Yeah, that's
he
awesome.
He shakes the controller.
Like, yeah.
Also, I loved his return in MGS4, where his ghost appears after you beat... I forget which beauty beast you beat, but
right.
Then he pops up, and he's like, I'm going to get you, Snake. Let me shake your controller. What? There's no rumble. There's no rumble!
He gets so angry.
Which, so it was also funny to see Kojima not just sucking up to Sony. He's making fun of the fact they don't have rumble on their system.
Which, quick aside, I love that they're like, on the DualShock 4, we've improved the rumble. It's like, man, 7 years ago, you literally called rumble a last-gen feature.
Oh, night boy. And day, most of the same most of those executives gone. Say a totally different message.
Yes. So that is the top 7 games that broke the fourth wall. One of my favorite top 7s we've done in a while, though we have some cool ones coming up. Be sure to come back every Monday for a new Top 7. And, do it, or else Greg will not read your name on the air.
Yeah.
That's right, right?
Yeah, totally accurate.
Good. All right, we'll be right back, and when we get back, news. Welcome back to segment 2 of Radio Radar, episode 28. It was a pretty big week for news.
Last week was pretty
not bigger. As big as the PS4, but there was a lot of little stories, many of which are either unconfirmed or we can't talk about them.
Uh-huh.
Let's start with unconfirmed. Deus Ex Human Defiance registered by Square Enix. Hinting at a reveal. Usually they register those soon before they reveal it because they know everyone's going to start talking about it.
Yeah.
Hinting that there's going to be a Deus Ex specific Human Revolution sequel in the near future.
I'm totally okay with that. Human Revolution was a really, really well done, I think, spiritual successor to the original.
I don't think it was a spirit. It was more of just, it was a flat out prequel.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
A nice Deus Ex game.
Yes.
In vein of the original.
A fresh start for the series.
Yes.
Yes.
It looked beautiful.
It did.
Very yellow.
And I'm really excited to see what it'll be like on a next-gen system. Mm-hmm. So I'm totally looking forward to it. It would not surprise me in the least bit when this happens.
And there's another Square Enix game, isn't there?
One of the people who work at Avalanche, like one of the highest guys at Avalanche, has just been tweeting pictures out of context. Mm-hmm. And those pictures are 100% Just Cause 3. Like, yes. It's a picture of a guy jumping out of an airplane with a Zeppelin in front of him, and he has the same exact outfit as Rico, and then there's another one of him just kicking somebody off a motorcycle. And it's like, if you're gonna do that whole, like, here's part of a screenshot tease, it can't be of your main character doing the thing he's most known for. It would be like Valve being like, we're gonna show something soon, and then just showing fucking Gordon clobbering something with a crowbar. It's like, that's Half-Life!
I feel like if Valve did that, then they'd be like, it's a Team Fortress expansion.
They would do that, and it's like, it's literally a hat of Gordon smacking something with a crowbar.
Square is doing great right now. Like, we'll talk about Tomb Raider later, but like, they are on a roll. But only the Eidos side, really. Like, Square...
they bought a company that is now making all of their popular games.
Yeah. Well, meanwhile, like, I feel like they're murdering the Final Fantasy name. Like, it's just...
13 has certainly soured the...
And 14.
And 14.
Oh, yeah. 14 burned and a 12 lot of people.
And 11.
Oh, this, man.
And then, meanwhile, their other... Like, Kingdom Hearts, that didn't even come out this generation. Though Kingdom Hearts did come out, they did announce Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5.
Oh, that doesn't count.
Their naming conventions have also been desperately terrible.
Yes,
like, very confusing.
Kingdom Hearts 358/2 days. Like, Kingdom Hearts HD Remix 1.5. Like, so many bad choices.
I want to get back into the Kingdom Hearts series, but I literally have no fucking idea where to start because they all have such weird names.
Well, this HD Remix starts with number one, so I think.
Well, there I go.
Yeah. Isn't 2 not included in there though?
Yeah, it's 1.5 Chain of Memories PS2 version, and then cutscenes from 358 over 2 days. Which is really all that Kingdom Hearts is, or 358 over 2 days.
So. Jesus Christ.
Yep.
So, yeah, those are... So, but on the other side, the company is probably making a new Deus Ex and a new Just Cause, and didn't the Just Cause guy end up also tweeting, like, see you at E3?
Yeah, I think so.
The only thing is, both screenshots looked awesome, but they didn't look next-gen awesome.
No.
They were also blurry as fuck, but...
Who knows? Maybe they're going to be a late-gen PS3 game.
I wouldn't be that surprised.
Just Cause 4.
Yeah.
Cause.
3.
Just
Cause.
Just Cause.
The other game that was announced that we can't really talk about is Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, starring a pirate. And
a pirate man.
I can say that I saw it, and I'm allowed to talk about it on Monday.
Well, let's talk about that cover, the box art cover for it.
Looks right. Sweet. I don't know if I give a crap.
I will not say anything about it. You guys can talk.
He's killed a man wearing a tricorner hat on it.
Okay, you can say that.
That guy's on the cover. I'm talking about the cover.
I know. I'm just being careful.
Let's see.
Skull and Crossbones flag.
No, it's not a skull and crossbones flag. It's a skull through the Assassin's Guild logo.
There's a picture of it on our website.
Yes, there is. I just don't want them to yell at me.
All right, okay. This
takes place in the future. Fuck, I did!
The exact same thing happened with Assassin's Creed 3. Like,
it really did.
With the same thing, except last time you hadn't gone to see Assassin's Creed.
Well, last time it all... Yeah, essentially same thing had happened, except they also... The leaks were all Game Informer.
This time
they were all GameStop and then Ubisoft.
Oh, the cool thing about the GameStop picture that went out, at least for me as a comic book fan, is that the art... I'm 90% sure the art was done by Todd McFarlane, which is pretty cool. The creator Spawn and all that. And he's doing the
artwork. I thought that was confirmed.
Oh,
didn't McFarlane recently announce that they're doing the toys?
Oh,
I know,
really?
NECA used to do
them. No, I don't know if I like that. NECA, I used to be a big McFarlane toys fan, but I think NECA beats McFarlane.
They do.
He did a good job on the Oscars. Wow.
What?
Silence.
Seth McFarlane?
That was a joke?
Zing. Nobody.
Wow.
I'll see myself out.
Wow. I honestly, we're talking about a toy company and the Oscars give out statues. And I'm like, he designed the Oscar statue?
It was a multi-layered joke.
Also, I don't like Seth MacFarlane, so.
Also bad. Wow. Bad joke.
Goodbye.
Like the kind I always tell.
Also announced /said... Hideo Kojima said that he's open for more Metal Gear Rising style spin-offs.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one where you play as as Johnny, where you just shit all over the place.
Johnny's shit show.
Johnny Sasaki.
I still fucking hate that his character exists.
Well, why? He's a mirror into my own soul. I also have IBS. Well, I feel his pain.
Oh, dear. But Johnny Sasaki has a really cool moment later in the series, like in MGS4. He looks
But in
cool.
MGS4, they legitimately, like, tease. Oh, God. I was so angry because I'm playing Metal Gear Solid 4, and the chapter is called, like, The Next Sun or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then it cut, and then right before that chapter starts, you see a character take off his helmet, a character who's mysteriously not affected by nanobites, and he looks exactly like Snake. And it's like, no, it's just some other guy. He shits himself a lot. I'm just like, fuck you, Kojima. Really? The plot twist is that there isn't a plot twist, and this guy just happens to look like Snake and shit himself.
You know, I haven't beaten Revengeance yet, but I have. I don't mind that the final villain of the game got spoiled for me in a very funny meme, which where he just kicks something. He's like, "Fuck!" Well, I can't even say what it is going to spoil. But there's a really funny meme out there.
Oh, but now I want to know.
That story
goes
nowhere. That story went nowhere, and I'm sorry.
Can you post it on your Twitter meme. So if people want to find out about it, what Twitter will they follow?
HENEREYG on Twitter. That's my Twitter handle.
Are you sure? I think you missed up two letters.
HENEREYG.
HENEREYG.
Yeah. Well, it's still better than your weird name with a J in it. I mean, come on.
That's just his name, though.
Why are you going to make fun of my name?
Respawn, the development team that is essentially Infinity Ward.
Yeah.
They have shown off a really, really blurry picture of their game, and it looked like a really, really blurry picture that legitimately could have been anything. But they said that they're going to be at E3, and they're not showing up empty-handed.
Oh, good.
About time.
We'll finally see something.
So I have an amendment to my previous prediction about this. So my prediction was Respawn's game 2014, Battlefield 2013, but now they're saying Battlefield 2014. So yeah. I'm saying Respawn 2013.
That'd you think that's big. Soon, huh?
It's been in development since Modern Warfare 2.
I just mean...
That's been like four, it's been like over 3 years.
Well, totally they had to, they had to rebuild their entire studio after that. Like they could
with
they
EA money.
They didn't start developing day one. But
No, you're right. They started developing 2 months earlier. That's why that's why there were all these lawsuits. They started the development of that like when Modern Warfare 1 shipped.
That's not like Weston Zampella won on that deal. I got there, got millions of dollars.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what was funny about that? It was that Activision was like suing them. To me, it sounded like it was Weston Zampella wanted bonuses they were promised for success, but Activision was like, "Well, we promised those bonuses when we never thought you would make $1 billion for us.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have promised bonuses that big. Well, you did.
Yeah, so, they legitimately they said they were like, "We're gonna sue you." You said we got like 1%. And we were supposed to get that 1% on Friday, and you fired us on Thursday, and now you're not giving us that money. And they're like, "Well, we don't want to give you as much money."
Yeah.
It's like, no, you can't just... Like, they were way
That's
open about the fact that they were being terrible.
Yeah. Bobby Kotick looked really bad.
He did. That's why... Have you heard what he's been doing now?
Not talking.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. He put somebody else in charge of talking.
He was not the one who took the stage at the PS4 event.
No, it was other guy.
Yeah.
What did they even talk about?
Destiny.
Oh, right.
Remember, the dudes
like
didn't know what to do with their hands.
They didn't.
That's beautiful.
It's the new theme song.
That was angelic.
Destiny.
Blizzard and Capcom are bringing stuff to PAX East.
Now,
ooh, yeah.
Now, though Blizzard
it's
has said...
It's not going to be Titan.
So Blizzard said... They already said they're bringing Diablo.
Yeah.
That's separate. Diablo PS3. / PS4. Probably just PS3. So that's going to be there. And they're also bringing something else that they qualify with. Like, they're like, "We're excited about it, but you probably shouldn't be as excited as we are."
They specifically said, like, not a sequel, not an expansion, not the MMO. So,
Jesus Christ, what else could it be?
It could either be a new IP or it could legitimately be a new trailer. It could be anything.
Maybe they're going to start showing the workings of an engine that they've got.
A next gen engine?
Yeah.
That's not a PAX thing, that's a GDC thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, but that a little more clear is Capcom, because they've said they're bringing two games.
Yes, I have my theory.
Talked about this. As some listeners may know, I have pals at Capcom, but they did not give me any hints on this. So, We are stabbing in the dark here.
Yes, because he was stabbed in the back by his friends.
That's right.
Because
they wouldn't tell me.
Well, I mean,
them.
We've been predicting for like 5 months now that we'd be hearing about Dead Rising 3. Dead Rising 3 has leaked everywhere.
Yeah,
it leaked in 2011.
Yes, and so I'm guessing that Dead Rising 3.
Very different.
And I'm guessing it may be next gen.
I think so.
Why else would they not have shown anything?
Yeah. Wouldn't surprise me.
That said, Capcom recently has been doing what everybody has asked everyone to do and not revealing their games until it's closer to release. Mm-hmm. Like Resident Evil 6 got revealed in like February and came out in October.
Yeah, and Remember Me, same deal. It got late last year and it's going to be out June 4th. So.
Yeah, and in doing that, I think because I think the general idea was like you need a year to build buzz or 2 years to build buzz. Resident Evil 6 set all sorts of records for them, so obviously you don't.
Yeah,
though I think it was because, again, this is stabbing in the dark here, but I think it was because Capcom got burned by Dark Void and Bionic Commando the reboot. Those both got announced 2 years before they came out. And
DMC, same
and
thing.
And DMC. Yeah, mm-hmm. Oh, man, DMC. When it first got announced, they gave people so much time to get unreasonably angry about it for so long.
Yeah. No, they definitely did.
A major mistake.
Yeah. So, what anyone have any other predictions?
God, I don't know.
My other one is Phoenix Wright versus Ace, Professor Layton. I think Capcom...
That's a super PAX announcement, too.
Yeah, that's definitely a niche thing for PAX. Like, it wouldn't be major at E3, but announcing that for America... It's also an American event, so announcing it for America would be good for there, too. Other than that, like, it could be some Mega Man thing, or it could be just... Monster Hunter will just be out that week, so I think they'll want to focus on Monster Hunter 3. Also, any Monster Hunter announcement would be done in Japan, not America.
Unless it's Monster Hunter 4.
Maybe.
That doesn't sound bad.
It's announced and they've shown it off. It could just be saying it's coming out for America.
I feel like they would really undermine Monster Hunter 3 by saying, like, Monster Hunter 3 just came out. In 6 months, Monster Hunter 4 for the
media. Yeah, that's true.
And the only other possibility is like some other HD remake that they haven't done yet. Power Stone's HD?
No. I'd play the fuck out of Power Stone HD.
Yeah, that would be pretty awesome.
I feel like that might have already
one
come.
And two together. They put them out on PSP. It was fun.
Oh, right.
Hasn't been an HD version.
They don't hold up great, but they're fun.
It's tons of fun.
The camera does not do it any favors.
No, but I remember Power Stone 2 was like 4-player, and it was almost like it was... Me and my friends almost got as addicted to it as we did to Smash Brothers. Not as much, but we got pretty into it.
Don't get too excited. It's not that good. But almost as good.
Almost.
Other big announcement? Sort of. I always say that, and then I look at the announcement, and I realize it's not a big announcement. Ken Levine gave a status update on BioShock for the Vita, which was announced like a year and a half ago.
E3 2011.
Yes, and the update is that it has not started.
Oh, good. Yet. So...
He said that he was super open. He's like, Sony really wanted me to announce that we were working on it because we had talked about it. So I announced that we were working on it. And 2K has not given us the money to start developing it. So we have not.
Yeah. Wow. My theory still is that like if BioShock Infinite doesn't sell, their Irrational will be closed. Like,
there's no way.
Or it'll be like... castrated to the point where Ken Levine will just want to leave anyway. Like, they'll be like, they were given so much leeway because of BioShock. Like, no other developer would have been like, well, just work for 5 years, throw out stuff, and don't even put multiplayer in it. Just do what you want. Like, I think it's great. Great that they have that kind of freedom, but unless this game sells 8 million copies, like, I don't think you'll get that same freedom again.
I don't know. I mean, I think that it's going to do better than BioShock 1 did and BioShock 2 did, and they did well enough to justify making a new BioShock.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, I think, I mean, there's just been so much, like, positive reaction to it in general that I can't foresee it.
Also,
poorly.
Box art has a guy with a gun on it. That's
so
all you need.
That. They hit the general crowd. Boom.
Yeah. And you jackass nerds are going to buy it anyway.
I like guns. Yeah,
exactly. There's an American flag.
Well, yeah, actually, the American...
There's George Washington humping something.
Well, wait, they would be mad at that because, yeah, the American flag is burning on the cover.
Yeah, but you got to stop it.
And second...
The entire game is
a
simulator.
If you don't buy this game.
Yeah, you have to simulate stomping out flag fires.
Also, Booker DeWitt on the cover is wearing, like, a 1916 era outfit. Like, he looks a little too fancy. I
don't know. I think, like... I think it's going to do well.
Also, I'm annoyed that Troy Baker is doing the voice. Like, come on,
why?
Troy. He's becoming the new Nolan North, except he's not as good an actor.
He's pretty good. Yeah, but he was announced to be doing this voice like when the
a
game
million
was announced.
Years
yeah.
ago.
He slowly became the new
over the last four
Nolan
years
North.
Since he recorded most of his dialogue.
Yeah. Eh. So yeah. So BioShock Vita may or may not. It doesn't even sound like it's going to happen.
It will not happen. Yeah. I can tell you that right
now. Sony was like, holy shit, we have nothing. Ken Levine, please come tell people that they're going to be able to play BioShock with Move and that you're making a Vita game. And he's like, ugh.
Number one, that's right. I totally forgot that game. They haven't mentioned the Move.
He said it still has Move.
Yeah, I remember he made fun of all the dumb shit you do with Move. At E3 2011, he was like, yeah, mostly moves like swinging a golf club or hitting a baseball bat. That's dumb. We're trying to do something smarter with it. It's a cool thing.
Yeah.
This is, like, I mean, now it seems so bullshit and coerced.
Didn't he shit on 3D also? He's just like, we're not going to do 3D because that's bullshit. We are going to support Move. And it's like,
And then after that, he's like, also, I'm proud to announce we're going to be doing something with one of these. Yeah. Bye.
They gave me one to say this.
He also had to say one of these because it wasn't called a PS Vita yet at that point in the E3 press.
What was the rumor name that it was going to be?
NGP.
No,
NGP was it's called.
There was a name in between NGP and Vita.
I just remember Vita leaked early and so
before Vita leaked, something else leaked, and then there were rumors that it was like they were going to call it something and then they couldn't because of like it was a trademark name and then they changed to Vita within like 3 weeks of unveiling.
I can't remember.
I don't remember either.
It was something like even the logo had like some remnants of the old logo or something.
No.
I'll look it up later. Hmm. I'm super interested.
What was the 1313 news that came out today?
Oh, right.
Was that rumored or?
Well, Ryan was the one who...
It was a post on Kotaku that essentially said, we've got sources from within the development side of LucasArts.
I already believe it.
And according to them, Star Wars 1313 development is pretty much frozen slash on hold because Disney bought it, and it's like, yeah, maybe not. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not kill this. They better not. I've not been this excited about a Star Wars game.
I can totally see Disney just going like, we bought LucasArts so we can make Star Wars movies. Why would we make a game? Why would we make original game?
Where the profit margin is far lower.
Yeah, profit margin is far lower. I can see them just going like, cancel that game, fire everyone at LucasArts. We're just going to license out the games based on the films to Activision and EA. Whoever's the highest bidder.
So, yeah, hopefully that doesn't come to pass, but, you know.
I would cry myself to sleep.
Well, I hope you're ready to cry because it's possible.
Get your tears ready.
They're welling up.
I hope you just start crying right now.
It could happen.
All right, I don't think we have any previews, unless we really want to talk about Final Fantasy: A Realm Reborn.
I mean, not really.
All right, so we will be right back with reviews and the community segment. Welcome back to the final segment of Radio Radar. We're going to jump into some reviews, doing a pseudo-review of Runner 2. Future Legend of Rhythm Alien. I played a bunch of levels. We all played some of it. Yep. And so if you played the other game, it's a kind of like you only have, it's almost like a one button game at first where you just have the ability to jump. Your character automatically runs to the right. It's a super difficult platformer. But as you play, you get more abilities, like the ability to do jumping kicks.
Oh, yes.
And rotate objects.
Slide.
And some other cool stuff. And it's on the Wii U and PC and PSN and I think Xbox Live.
It's on XBLA. It came out on XBLA, PC, and Wii U this week. Next week is PSN.
Yeah, and there's a review going up on the site pretty soon. I haven't played enough of it to.
It's really pretty in HD.
It's really pretty. I mean, there was some criticism at first that it went from 2D. It used to be like super retro looking 2D, and now it's just beautiful 3D. And that 3D looks nice.
Yeah. Well, everybody else...
Bit Trip, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Bit Trip Runner 2.
Yes.
Or is it just Runner 2?
Bit Trip presents Runner 2, Future Legend of Rhythm Alien.
Perfect.
But it's Runner 2.
Yes.
And I think they did it because everybody else, it kind of ripped off. Well, not ripped off, but everybody else was doing fake 8-bit games.
Yeah.
You know? So they're like, yeah, you guys can keep that. We're moving on.
And it's beautiful. You can check out the review. I don't know what score we gave it yet, but I know that I liked it a lot. And it has off-screen play, which I'm a big fan of, so I was playing yesterday just on the Wii U.
And you can watch our radar plays of it also.
You can. We were super good at it. We didn't die over and over again or anything.
I could hear you guys from the other room.
It's just, I don't get that stressed out playing games. That game just fucking ruins
it's
me.
Intense.
I get so scared.
It's intense.
I get more scared than I get with any other game. Other big review this week, the Tomb Raider reboot. So the game's not out until next week, but Ryan, you got a chance to play through the entirety of it.
I did, yeah. It's really fucking good.
I'm seeing some people from like other outlets too, just being like, so I think it's one of my favorite games of the generation.
Yeah, like
kind of
came out of nowhere. Like when Crystal Dynamics revealed they were doing a Tomb Raider reboot, everyone's like, oh cool, maybe that'll be decent.
Which is what they've said every time Crystal Dynamics for the last 15 years has said they're making a new Tomb Raider. Like, okay, that's cute.
And it was revealed a million years ago.
Yeah,
with Laura's dirty face on a Game Informer cover.
Oh, well, and
Laura.
And I think that's an appropriate image. Lara, be sure.
Yeah, goddamn.
Don't ever say that wrong, or I hope you die.
So how is the young Lara Croft?
Young Lara Croft. No, well, you know, that first image that showed up with her kind of like all bloody and beaten up, and she's tying bandages on her legs and shit. Like, that's an appropriate image, because that's how she is through the entire game. She's constantly... It's actually really shocking how many horrible things happen to her. Like, it becomes distracting even at times. It's like, Jesus Christ, this is a lot. Like, a bit much, maybe. But, no, it's... I guess the closest game you could compare it to is Uncharted. It's a lot of platforming, and there are a lot of combat segments, though far fewer than Uncharted, and with far fewer enemies.
How many
T-Rexes? You're still going to kill a couple hundred people, but you're not killing a couple thousand people, and I think that's kind of where the difference is.
Are there lots of wolves?
Yeah, you're going to fight some wolves.
Any lions?
Nope.
Tigers?
Wolves are pretty much it.
T-Rexes?
No,
there were T-Rexes in the originals. Remember but, that? That's a thing that happened in Tomb Raider.
Yeah, it is.
Fight a T-Rex.
The radio climbing stuff in the game that I saw you do looks so amazing.
Well, like it's a very, like, they've spent so much time polishing this game to where everything about it is really, really pretty. I mean, visually it's amazing looking. Even on the 360 it looks astounding. And then little things too, like the attention to detail in the and the animations that they've got in the game are really, really caught me off guard when I saw those things kind of happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just super pretty all around. The combat too is really fun. It's like, if you were to compare it to, it beats Uncharted's combat a million times over. Like, it's super tight and
really
controlled. Oh yeah, it's far better. Yeah. And all the weapons are really funny to use, and you get there's tons of collectibles to find, and the island setting's like this really big place. Mm-hmm. It's not open world, but it's kind of sectioned off into like hub zones that are pretty big, and you can kind of do whatever in there.
Kind of like Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, kind of like that. Closer to Asylum than
that's
City.
Why, right. Yeah, that's why I said it.
And one of the things
listen to his words, man.
One of the things that I really enjoyed, a lot was the island setting itself is like this big, mysterious place, and there's all kinds of weird things happening. Like, you can see ships wrecked, like it's a ship graveyard, and these ships span centuries of design, and all the collectibles you find on the island kind of provide some context to other people that have been stranded there before, and there's all sorts of weird relics, and it kind of builds this sense of mystery right up until the end. It never divulges what's going on right until the very end. So that was a really, really cool thing that I appreciated a lot. But yeah, all around, it's a fantastic game.
It's really long, too, right?
Yeah, it's about a 15, 16-hour game.
Wow.
Yeah, surprised me.
Awesome, and how was the multiplayer?
Surprisingly not bad. It's kind of like... When you're running, it looks Gears of War style, where they do that camera shake behind you.
The roadie run.
Yeah, but all the levels have segments where you can climb up the ledges with the really cool animations. There's lots of zip lines and things you can slide all over the place. A couple neat game modes, nothing too fancy, but, you know, it's certainly got the potential to have some legs to it. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. So what score did you give it?
I give it 4.5 out of 5.
God damn.
Yeah. No, it was great. We'd definitely check it out if you're into action
crazy,
adventure games. So.
What a crazy month we have ahead of us.
Yes. So Tomb Raider comes out next week. Also coming out next week is SimCity, which we will have a review for. I can't really talk about it yet. But what we can talk about is the question of the week.
That is right.
Community time.
Community segment. So before we start to... talking about question of the week stuff, I do want to say that we are kicking off next week our community. We have yet to brand the name yet, but it's basically a community play date where members of the staff...
Game night.
Whoops, it's gonna take, yeah.
That's magical sounding.
That's original is what that one is.
That was rude.
Well, anyway.
Okay.
So, game night.
Yeah!
Where Games Radar will... set up a time to play with you guys out there in the community. We're starting it off with Halo 4 because they just had their Majestic map pack. We did a live stream of that.
So you did. Is it Majestic?
Yes, actually.
Really?
It very much in a way that Tomb Raider was Majestic when I would like peek over your shoulder. Just like the vistas like off in the background have so much detail and there's so much going on. I know that when you're playing Halo 4 multiplayer, you're not looking at that stuff. But it's just real. It's nice to have out there because
it's majestic.
If you die and you look around, you get to see some really cool stuff.
Your anger subsides.
Yeah, they tossed in 3 new maps and a bunch of new achievos. But so that's the first playdate game we're gonna have. Let's see what else. Yeah, we're doing live streams on Fridays. We've already done 3 of them now, and during the live streams, we'll be giving away either codes for the game that we're live streaming or in-game items, things like that. So there's, you know, incentives to tune in. But there's also incentives to follow us on Twitter as well.
We're sure
doing a lot of giveaways on there. Not at any particular time. So if you check Twitter, you know, relatively often, you may come across a random giveaway. So just keep your eyes open for it.
Just keep watching Twitter all the time.
Yeah.
Never stop watching Twitter. You're going to miss it.
At Games Radar.
And in between, while you're waiting for those things, maybe click on some of those links to stuff on our show.
Just a little bit. Maybe just a little bit.
All right. So last week's question of the week was,
I believe it was, what game do you want announced for the PS4?
That's correct.
I know you came up with it.
I sure did.
You have no reason to have this vacant expression right now.
Just looking into your eyes.
Just dead eyes, like a doll's eyes.
All right. JMarsala09 says, okay, I realize this is a touchy subject on Games Radar, but it might be time for that Final Fantasy VII remake.
It just might, Marcella. Thank you.
Next.
You're my champion.
Wow. That elicited some
whatever, I'll fight for that game.
I can fight for that game if you want.
Okay.
Just like your ancestors fought for the Nazis.
He ended it with don't
shoot.
That's
fucked up, man.
So. All right, Dizzy Dragon, fuck Last Guardian and Kingdom Hearts 3. I've waited for those for so long, but nothing will live up to my expectations, and I'll just be let down. So San Andreas HD, every other franchise gets HD treatments, so I want GTA to start
doing it. It's a good sign of how jaded and cynical our community is when they're like, fuck new games, just give me shinier version of old games.
Yeah. On the 2005 game.
Yeah, 2005 is really when I stopped caring about innovation, so just make those shinier.
So G1 Rodolfo 7. I never thought I would say this.
I think
but
it's Girl Draco 7, technically.
You know, you're totally right.
Yes! Nailed it, Girl Draco.
I never
Draco.
Thought I would say this, but I would buy a PS4 if Sega would announce a sequel to Skies of Arcadia already. I don't like Sony console at all, but if they announced it being a PS4 exclusive, I would buy it.
I mean, it won't be. But
it will never happen.
But I could totally see them making a sequel, and I agree. That Skies of Arcadia is a super underrated franchise.
I believe now that Aliens is out, Sega will make 2 games a year, Sonic and Yakuza.
And Total War games.
Oh, and Total War. All right.
And they bought Relic.
So more Total War. Or Warhammer
Total War.
Oh, I'm totally ready
so
for
good.
It. I want it right now.
I wonder if there's going to be a Sonic game this year. If you like.
Sonic Total War.
Ooh. That'd be awesome.
Gotta go faster. I'm just imagining that song playing and the gameplay literally just being Dynasty
Sonic,
Warriors.
You can really move.
And just to piss people off, it's skinny Sonic with green eyes, and the only move you have is the jump up, lock onto enemy, and strike them.
Oh.
I think they could make a Skies of Arcadia HD. I feel like Sega, their only other business there now is doing HD ports of every game.
Of everything that sold over 17 copies. Yeah. Somebody at Sega is like, I guess we're just upscale the shit out of this.
All right, Rains Gadar, I want KOTOR 3. I want to know what happened in the area, that era of the world. I want redemption for that series, and I want to be able to revisit the world since I don't nor will ever have a gaming PC capable of running the MMO.
On the topic of this, did you hear the rumor?
About
what? Knights of the Old Republic is apparently the person who wrote Knights of the Old Republic is one of the people that's apparently writing one of the many Star Wars spin-off movies.
Awesome.
There's rumors that it's going to be the Knights of the Old Republic. Like that they're eyeing up which franchises have done well and what reasons, and they're like, this one did well, let's make it into a movie.
Oh man.
That's one of the rumors floating around.
How is Knights of the Old Republic doing online, the MMO?
Or just the Old Republic?
The Old Republic is doing mediocre, but Knights of the Old Republic sold very well.
Everybody
that era did well enough that EA decided to make Knights of the Old, or the Old Republic. Yeah. Like that franchise is really popular.
That's gone free to play now at this point.
Yeah, though I've heard the free to play version isn't great. They didn't do a good job of incentivizing you to play without spending money.
Yeah, because they would literally gimp you on
literally gimp.
Literally gimp.
Not literally. You would hobble around the map,
but. But anyways, like originally they even cut the number of action bars you had access to.
Yeah, they did some rough stuff.
Things you need to play it.
Also, I know since this is a community segment, I want to go ahead and specifically point out why Reigns Gaydar's name is so funny. So his image is a picture of Rainn Wilson from The Office, who plays Dwight, in a scene where he literally used a Gaydar to try to figure out if somebody's gay. So it's Rainn Wilson's Gaydar. That it's so, like, at first I'm like, it's like Games Radar. And then you're like, holy shit, there's like 5 jokes in this. That's so shout incredible. Out to Rainn's Gaydar for having a really funny, it's not just a gay joke, it's a really funny reference.
And because of that, you win this question.
Boom!
You win this this week's question.
Your mind is blown, Reigns.
That's right. So get a hold of me, and we'll send you something cool.
How do they get a hold of you?
Well, I was about to say that.
Hey, Greg. How are they going to get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me directly at greghenniger@gamesradar.com.
How do you spell that?
Just like my Twitter.
H-E-N-E-R-E-G-Y.
It's actually similar. So it's Greg, G-R-E-G. But then HENNINGER.
You steal my bit.
They really should have just done Greg H. All things considered.
Yeah, you should have just done that.
Well, it's Greg H at FutureUS.
Is it?
Yes.
You should just use that. You should get that one out. Right. I give out my FutureUS.
Well, now they're both out there, so.
Everybody knows.
Get a hold of me.
Also, if you want to just send us an email, it's RadioRadar@GamesRadar.com.
Yeah.
We have a Twitter account. It's Games Radar. We also have GR Radio Radar for all of your GR Radio Radar needs. Be sure to
Facebook
us.
Games Radar on Facebook.
Subscribe on iTunes if you haven't already, and rate us. We've gotten a bunch of ratings recently.
Yeah.
Specifically calling out Poke Radar.
Because I begged people hardcore for last time, and you came through. Thank
came
you, people.
Came out in droves.
In case you don't know, though you should if you're subscribing to us on iTunes, we do a bi-weekly podcast all about Pokemon. We just did our third episode, Poke Radar. Keep on listening.
We talked about Pokemon for about 5 minutes of the half-hour episode.
Yeah. This same group of 17. People.
Yeah.
What?
Pokemon just turned 17.
It did.
It did. We did not acknowledge it on the episode.
Well,
we will on the next one.
Yeah.
A spoiler for the next episode.
We will say this sentence, Pokemon turned 17.
All right, so
holy hell, Pokemon just turned 17.
In Japan.
I am so old.
That was 90% of the comments when we announced that on Facebook.
In America, Pokemon has turned 15.
Oh my god, oh god. I'm going to die soon.
I hope so.
All right, so this week's question of the week. Tomb Raider had an awesome Back to Basics reboot. Have we already asked this already?
I don't think so.
Everyone's looking at me like I'm a dumbass.
No, I'm...
Back to Basics reboot.
That's my general face.
What game
from looking in mirrors so much
deserves that kind of treatment? A Back to Basics reboot.
Well, it's not... So, it's not really Back to Basics. Wouldn't you... I mean, this is...
It's just a straight-up reboot.
It doesn't have... It's not like Tomb Raider used to be about survival. It's like
That's
Tomb
right.
Raider used to be about backflips and shooting T-Rexes. How about a realistic reboot? Or just a reboot?
A fully realized reboot.
That's good.
All right. What game would you like to have a fully realized reboot?
I'll go last while I think
what?
About this.
That's the chicken's way out. All right, I'll go first then. I would like to see a fully realized reboot of, you know, Donkey Kong. The original arcade Donkey Kong. They should do it as a 3D Mario game, except he can only jump like 3 feet in the air. If he drops 7 feet, he will die. And you just have to carefully hop up girders as careful as you can to fight a giant ape that will tear you apart. And he doesn't look cartoony at all. He looks horrible. He's a horrible monster.
All right.
So that's mine.
I will say Prince of Persia. Persia had one really, really good game for the PS2, and then one bad game, and then one good game. And then this gen, it had a really, really, really good. The 2008 version was awesome, but it wasn't. It realistically wasn't Prince of Persia. It was something totally different. And then they made a movie tie-in Prince of Persia, which was surprisingly good. But they still have gone so far away that the Prince of Persia brand really doesn't mean much anymore. I'd like to see them kind of do a go back to Sands of Time style and do a full-on reboot it, bring it back, just start a new franchise, and it would look beautiful in next gen.
Yeah.
Get to do, like, sand physics and shit.
Right. Oh, so right. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Ryan?
Oh, God, I'm still trying to think.
Ryan!
What about you?
Yeah, I would I'd like a fully realized reboot of the Dark Forces series, which I thought 1313 had a little potential to do something similar to
1313's busy, man. Not being made.
God, so they're not busy.
The funny thing is when 1313 was announced, everyone who saw it was like, man, that looked great. Fucking never coming out. And now it's just like the train wreck is slowly piling up.
Okay, I finally got it.
All right.
Okay.
So Crystal Dynamics made, with their Tomb Raider reboot, made me realize, you know, these guys are kind of really, really getting it. They're doing amazing now, at least for that game. And you know what? I want them to reboot their Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver franchise.
Damn it, I thought you were going to say Gex.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say
Gex. Henry and I were both like, no, Soul Reaver would be awesome.
Yeah, like a full badass dark Soul Reaver game.
I read a thing recently. Game Informer had a really cool history of Crystal Dynamics thing in there. And when they get to Soul Reaver, they talk about how the first game was made by Silicon Knights. And basically, in the least libelous way possible, they said that Dennis Dyack was a crazy person, and they said he worked with the Silicon Knights, and we had Dennis Dyack really believes in stuff, and we appreciate that about him, but sometimes you get in screaming matches that get so heated that the police are called, and so
Dennis Dyack is like. Peter Molyneux, if Peter Molyneux never actually succeeded in anything.
Well, and then I did a little more digging, and like Dyack accused like Crystal Dynamics of saying like that he said that Silicon Knights did all the real work on the first Soul Reaver game, and then Crystal Dynamics just stole it and said it was theirs, and then made all the sequels.
So weren't the sequels significantly better than the original?
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be cool. It's a cool franchise. It just hasn't, and there were rumors of it coming back recently.
I totally hope it does. It was such a cool game.
I know I say this a lot, but I'm wondering how many games like that, like they got like halfway through development and they're just like, hold off. We're good. Let's wait until next gen. And it seems like a game that they could have done that with, where they're like, we can do some cool ass like fabric covering up your gaping hole in your face simulation gen.
And Square's had a lot of success with rebooting franchises so far. I bet the probably Soul Reaver's on the charts for next gen.
Yeah. So
answer that in the comments section on the post for this week's episode, and we will read them. Some of them,
yes.
Next week, and some winners.
Yeah, and if you win, you get a. What games do you have on your desk? Your desk is becoming like a Stonehenge of games that came out within the last 6 months.
Yeah, it's games and like random swag and books and things like that too.
We gave out a signature from
Reggie
Fils-Aimé that we gave out a few months.
Somebody
like a month ago.
Really appreciated that. If you're out there, you're welcome.
Yeah, so we have tons of stuff.
Yeah, it's piling up,
and we're always getting more. So
yeah,
just let us know.
And if you do win, I know Cody Stovall just got a hold of me today. Took about a week, but
asshole.
Let me know, you know, your console of choice, and I'll see what I can do for you.
Awesome, yeah. And be sure to do all the stuff that we tell you to do every week, and check out Games Radar for all of your video game stuff. See you later. So, the thing we're trying to answer is, which gets better over time?
There we go. Tick-tock.
All right. Yeah.
All right. Flip them.
Hiya!
Go ahead.
Starting off with Doom gets better over time. Because, you know, it started off as a pretty horrible looking game, and
it was rough. It wasn't the best.
No, it was pretty hard. You had to, you know, look forward, walk down. Well, now Now it's shiny and glossy, and you're walking around, and monsters are jumping out of you, and you can look up and shoot them, and turn around, and they're fully rendered.
Oh, wait, you're talking about a series now, and it's
I'm okay with that excuse, because I went with Mortal Kombat,
yeah.
And though the original Mortal Kombat was not very good, the Mortal Kombat franchise has improved over time, until
I'd argue
that the most recent Mortal Kombat is the best Mortal Kombat.
Well, you could literally say that about...
It's a bold statement.
The statement that...
You could literally say that about anything, like half the games on our top 100 have sequels that aren't on the list.
They all look better now.
I didn't say look, I said are.
The categories gets better over time.
Well, I'm going to talk about mine next, and that's any Kinect game. And I'll say why that gets better over time. Because the right way to enjoy Kinect games is with your friends getting drunk. And so the longer you're playing it, the drunker you get. Though I will admit, it comes to a point where you get too drunk to enjoy it. And then everyone goes home.
It's beer 0.75,
yeah.
Actually.
And when I say everyone goes home, I mean they drunk drive home.
Or pass out on the couch.
And then you force them into their car so they drunk drive home.
Only one of those.
I tell them,
you
can't sleep on my couch. Go to hell.
Yeah. So Ryan,
I'm going to go with Diablo, because literally as you play the game, it gets better over time. The more you play, the deeper into the tower you get, and the more equipment you get, and it becomes this addicting path of getting stronger and getting better equipment and better gear.
The funny thing is, for somebody who is so against the getting better over time, meaning sequels, you probably chose the game that had the, like, Diablo 1 does not hold up at all.
Sure it does. I just played it.
You're lying.
I'm not lying. It holds up fine.
When did you play it?
Like 3 weeks ago.
For about 15 minutes?
No, I got to, like, level 20-something in there.
Oh.
So,
boom! Why did you do that to yourself?
Because it was fun. I still had a good time with
Diablo
it.
Diablo 1, not 2?
Diablo 1. Still holds up just fine.
I genuinely...
Go play it on your PC today.
I genuinely think you're lying to us.
I'm not lying. I don't lie. I'm incapable.